So here we are in Lent, the first Sunday of Lent. And during this season of Lent, we're going to be talking about confronting suffering and evil. And that's because when I asked you last fall, what do you want to know about what the Bible really says about? A number of you had questions about, well, what does the Bible really say about the suffering of the innocent? What does the Bible say about where God is in the midst of suffering? So if you have your worship guide, you can see that as we begin Lent, there's a special page at the beginning of each week that kind of outlines the theme for that week during Lent and gives you some of the Bible verses and a guiding prayer. So you'll want to especially rely on your worship guide during the season of Lent. So this is our new series, Confronting Suffering and Evil. And today we're going to talk a little bit about good people and bad things. We're going to read two scriptures to lead us into this. One is from Psalm chapter 73. And this is one of those places where you can go and do what I just recommended that the children do. When you have a heartache or something that is worrying you, or you feel like someone has committed an injustice and you are just bothered by that, you go to Psalm 73. There's lots of places you can go, but this is one of the places where you can go, and we'll hear it in just a moment. And then in a few minutes, we're going to hear a portion of the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. Now, you might remember that the fathers and mothers of our faith are, the fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their spouses, their wives. And Jacob has 12 sons, and Joseph is the 11th son. He is the son of Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel. And in the story, the older brothers are jealous of Joseph because of how much Jacob loves this particular child, the child of his heart, of his beloved wife, Rachel. And gives him, this is where the coat of many colors story comes from, gives him a kind of a fancy coat and seems to cater to him. And, you know, Joseph is just a kid, right? He takes in all of this loving that his father Jacob showers upon him, and he becomes a little bit arrogant about it all and sort of lords it over his brothers a little bit. You can picture this happening in human life, can't you? Lords it over his brothers, and the resentment grows. And then, with this kind of ordinary kid turned sort of arrogant, some really bad things happen. And we're going to talk about how there's good people and then bad things and where God is in the midst of that. We start with the psalm.
From Psalm 73, verses 21 through 28, can be found in your pew Bible on page 534. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was stupid and ignorant, I was like a brute beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Indeed, those who are far from you will perish. You put an end to those who are false to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, to tell of all your works. The words of God for the people of God.
And now that piece of the story of Joseph that Pastor Sharon was just talking about comes from Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to read verses 12 through 24. Now his brothers went to pasture their flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard this, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So Joseph came to his brothers. They stripped him of his robe, the long robe with the sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. In this season of Lent, O God, when we look within ourselves, we pray that you would especially open our hearts this day to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so now there's a story about a good person and a bunch of bad things. You know, Joseph's brothers, less Reuben, one of the older brothers who has apparently gone off with the flock somewhere, the brothers decide to make a profit off Joseph rather than let him die in the pit. So as some travelers are passing by, some traders, they sell Joseph to the travelers. They draw him up out of the pit, and for 20 pieces of silver, they sell Joseph into slavery to these travelers. And then we discover that those travelers sell him into slavery in Egypt, far away. Well, perhaps this is an unusually dramatic story, but the themes are familiar. Resentment over attention and money, conspiring together. One stands up a little bit for the other person. They do one bad thing that results in a lot of suffering for many years. One thing, one resentment, one action leads to other things that lead to suffering for many. Now, the Bible is full of stories similar to this one, and we find these stories at some degree, some level in our own lives. And it's natural and easy to ask the question, why? Even to cry out sometimes, "Why, God? If you are so good, God, why do these things happen?" Now, clearly, some suffering is caused by human sin. God gives us the ability to choose to do good or evil, and some people, actually all of us at one time or another, choose to do things that cause others to suffer. It's all around us. We have the freedom to choose, and sometimes we humans choose things that lead to the suffering of others. Some other suffering is caused by things that happen in nature, disasters. We're going to talk about these in a message in a few weeks. I'm going to say right now that we know that some things in nature are caused by human greed and destruction, but other things happen because of the natural processes of Earth's movements and seasons, floods and fires and earthquakes. You see, God gives freedom to the planet and to the universe as well. The real question in this comes when we see clearly innocent people, especially children, suffer. When children get cancer or get terribly injured, why, oh God, why? And we want to ask, why do you let this happen? Here is what I know. God doesn't cause the innocent to suffer. Nothing in Scripture supports that. But God doesn't always immediately intervene to end it either. And that is so hard for us to understand. Here is more of what I know. Pain is an ordinary partner in our ordinary lives. Pain is an ordinary partner in our ordinary lives. No one escapes it, right? Anybody here have a completely pain-free life from birth till now? I want to meet you if you do. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional or mental, even spiritual. Now, that's not being cynical. It's just real. God doesn't cause it. In fact, we know that physical pain tells us that something is wrong and needs treatment. We know this about the disease of leprosy, right? The part of the reason that lepers become so disabled is they can't feel any of the pain in their limbs. And so they bump into things and run into things and get wounded because they can't feel the pain. This is sometimes true with emotional or mental pain as well. It tells us something needs to be done. Let me be clear. I am not saying that pain, especially great suffering, is any kind of a good thing or that we shouldn't help ourselves or others. I'm just saying that pain is an ordinary partner in our ordinary lives. I got to thinking that perhaps the question of why needs to change just to a different question. To what does God do about the suffering of the world? And how does God ask me and you to be partners in relieving this suffering? Well, let's talk about God first. Here's where the song Anthem by Leonard Cohen strikes me so much. With the chorus, it says, and you have this for your preparation in your bulletin. With the chorus, it says, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. You see, God moves into the cracks of our lives and begins to heal, gives us what we need for that moment. You know, there is more to this story of Joseph. Joseph has more trouble in Egypt. He spends time in prison, unjustly accused. But finally, after years, he is appreciated for who he is and for his abilities. And the Pharaoh begins to rely on Joseph. He rises to a high position in the Egyptian government with a lot of power in Egypt, and he is the one who helps them plan for a time of famine. Years and years later, when there is a famine in Israel, where Joseph came from, where his family still is, his brothers and his father still live there, they come to Egypt to try to get food, the food that Joseph has stored up for the time of famine. And when they come, Joseph recognizes them, his brothers and his father, but they don't recognize him. And he has a choice to make. Will he show compassion or take revenge on them? You see, God has moved into the cracks in Joseph's life and given him opportunities to use his gifts and lead and help people. God took the bad decisions of Joseph's brothers and let the light shine through. And God does this for us too. You think about it. If you have health issues, God gives us medical procedures. Medications, those who develop medications. God gives us medical research and technology and doctors and nurses. God moves into the cracks and dwells there, actively working, weeping when we weep. And God does this for those around us too, even children. Many of you know that our son David was born very prematurely and without his right foot and had a number of surgeries in the first years of his life. Painful surgeries on a bone in his leg. And without the help of the medications and the caring doctors and the nurses and, yes, Art and me, to love and nurture and care for him, he would have suffered more than he did. Instead, God gave us, God moved into the cracks and shone light in the places of difficulty. God does this in our world too, over time, in tornadoes and war. We see God moving into the places to bring hope and healing. And yes, God moves into the United Methodist Church. Even now, God is entering into the cracks, into the dark places, and already beginning a new thing. One of the ways that God shines light through the cracks is through us. You know, by God, we are changed and transformed by our own suffering. Now, we don't say that to people when they're going through something. When they're in the midst of great suffering, we don't go to them and say, you know, God's working through this and it's going to be all better. People have said that to you at different times, I bet. But we have learned not to say that to people. It's kind of cruel, really, isn't it? But in hindsight, we see how God changes us by what we go through. If we let God shine through, we see God working, teaching us, bringing hope and possibilities. We choose whether to be angry or cynical or to see what God is trying to do through us. Now, God not only changes us by what we go through, but God changes things by the ways the Christian community works to relieve suffering. In individuals and with groups, think of all of our mission projects, all of the ways that we are involved with the Inn Project, with the work in Agua Prieta, with various projects here in town that help to alleviate and relieve suffering. Through our ties that bind quilts, that even again today you get to tie and send it to someone who is suffering right now. And you know what? Sometimes we are even willing to suffer ourselves in order to help others. I remember one time when I was getting together a youth mission trip, and it was an organizational meeting for a youth mission trip, and I was telling them about some of the places we were going to go and how hard people's lives were and how we were going to sleep on cots, you know, and it was going to be kind of rough. And one of the kids said, "You mean we have to pay to go and suffer?" But sometimes we followers of Jesus, you know, Jesus suffered all that we have and more. We are sometimes called to enter into painful situations in order to bring hope and healing. This is not to glorify suffering, but it happens in many ways, in the kind of missions that I was talking about. But some of you have even gone to places that are not easy, where you know you will be deprived or even in danger in order to move into the cracks in people's lives, medical missions, and so much more. And you know, our hospices here in town are one of the most clear examples of this. Just this week, we had several people in our congregation pass away who had been in hospice care. We have people in our midst who work in hospices. Those people who work in hospice, those of you who volunteer there, those of you who willingly go there, enter painful situations willingly in order to bring hope and healing, to shine the light of Christ through the cracks. You know, giving of oneself in that way reshapes our lives. It gives us meaning when we care for someone or a group in great need. We choose to do something difficult to help others because that is Christ present. And sometimes that willingness to suffer in order to help others is closer to home, like being willing to forgive in order to rebuild a relationship. Forgiveness is an act of our own liberation too, but oh, that's painful. To take the first steps toward forgiving. Joseph does it though. He decides to forgive his brothers and let them know who he is and provide food for them. The same brothers who did so much wrong to him. And they have a great time of reconciliation and remembrance and recognition and live out their days together. Sometimes for us, shining light through the cracks means being willing to change a viewpoint or a deeply held conviction. Oh, that's painful. In order to enter into the lives of others to bring hope and healing, to understand. Suffering can happen when we choose to live more fully, to enter into the cracks of people's lives in order to shine the light of Christ. You know, I deliberately chose an Old Testament story today because people often say that God is that the Old Testament God is vengeful and a God of law, not grace, but that's just not true. God comes into the midst of suffering throughout Scripture and works to bring light and hope. How about Jesus, though? A final word. Jesus encountered the evil of his day and did not shrink from it, but confronted it head on, sure of his trust in God. And God calls us, we followers of Jesus, to do that. Jesus entered into the cracks in our lives. He suffered for and with us and brought hope and healing. Pain is an ordinary partner in our ordinary lives. The cracks are real. And there is Jesus. There is Jesus. Sometimes by his Spirit alone, and sometimes by the willingness of others to sit with us and pray with us. I have been witness to this many times, God working through you as you are willing to enter in to relieve suffering. This, friends, is how we confront evil and suffering in the world. By being, even when it's hard, bearers of love and hope in the midst of it, in Jesus' name, for God's sake. Thanks be to God. Amen.